You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line!
And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Well, take him out, son. Take him out.
News. Here at News, both Ryu and I will tell you our best and worst shoot of the previous month, and we talk about ourselves because we like to.
And we will talk about the fact that I was in America for 10 days, and I just had a conversation with Matt and how I hated the fat people of America, plus the waiters. They really just killed me. But we're not going to talk about all negative stuff. Like, we can talk about positive stuff, such as the milkshake was good, by the way. Pretty good. No, like, really, I'm not joking. That was really good. Milkshakes in America, one of the best things in the world. Really, seriously, good. Chili's, terrible. What else about? I didn't eat McDonald's. I had Five Guys for the first time. It was okay.
Never had it.
Really?
I'm a vegetarian.
Ah, you're right. I'm sure there's like a Five Guys vegetarian.
I'd be surprised.
Or I don't know. No guys, I guess then. No meat. Yeah, you know what? You go. What was the best and the worst?
Best shoot. Shot USC at Stanford, which was a pretty big game for both teams. They were both in the top 15 or something.
Wait, what are you talking
football
about for people who are not Americans?
American football, football. Red-blooded, red
grid,
meat.
Gridiron.
Five Guys, American football. and this shoot was made better because the 2 weeks previous I had shot Stanford football also, and it was the first football I had shot in, I don't know, 9 months or something. And just two really boring games where both teams kind of ran the ball right into the line and just not good games all around. So USC came to Stanford, their national title contender, they were. And it was an afternoon game, so there was really good lighting. And it was a great game, back and forth the whole time. And just ended up with a great shoot all the way around. And it, you know, the two worst shoots were the two Stanford football games before, so having a good shoot on that game made it even better. So those are my best and worst.
Champions League started. So for all the people who live in America who don't watch soccer in Europe, this is like when the top, you know, the good teams, so the previous season of each league gets to go to this big tournament when they fight against all the good teams of other countries' leagues in Europe. That's Champions League, in a nutshell. So, Real Madrid and Man City, I shot, and then Chelsea versus Juventus the following day. It's nice to just kind of know that Champions League is back, and I really enjoy the whole atmosphere of top class, top end sports teams going at it. I have to say, this was Real Madrid versus Man City was the worst for me because of the fact that there was a game-winning goal at the very, very, very end. Cristiano Ronaldo, there's this guy from Portugal who plays for Real Madrid, scored the winning goal with, like, basically, you know, a minute left on the clock. And I was on the right side, but the shot that I got was just him going to the right, to the corner, to the corner flag and celebrating. And I had this similar conversation with someone at the France versus Japan match yesterday. It is really, 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 really a matter of luck that you really can't do anything sometimes, that you will not get the best shot because you're just not there. And you, no matter what you do, there's nothing you can do because you're just not there. And it's one of those things that happened yesterday, because we're recording this October. But also the same thing happened between Real Madrid and Man City. Like, I just wasn't there, and it really just pisses me off to no end. So hopefully things will get better with my luck or maybe they'll just come to me next time, or I'll be sitting somewhere that they will be going. Look like it's the same thing. And the best was that the figure skating also started. And I went to this really, this like kind of West Virginia of Germany type of place, you know, in South Germany. There's nothing there but like just fat people and horrible waiters. Figure skating, yeah, I shot the ladies and the men's and the pairs and everything, and it was nice.
So you know, for our listeners who might be traveling to Europe or might be in Europe, what exact city is the West Virginia of Germany?
It's called Oberstdorf, okay. Which is called spelled O-B-E-R-S-T-D-O-R-F. Okay. And it was called Nebelhorn. And then, by the way, when I was in America, my friend I went to university in Jersey back, you know, a long time ago. And he called me because I left my telephone number on Facebook saying that if you want to call me, there's my American number, you can call me. And he called me and said that the podcast, that he does listen to it, even if he doesn't shoot sports photography. And he said that were very, very good. Now, I don't think he was joking because, like, he's one of those people, he would say, like, you know, if something is crap, he says crap. So, Ryan, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you keep on listening and tell other people to listen, and then, you know, we'll get a lot of money one day and everything will
be. Yeah, that's really all the validation I need.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the guy you don't know says good things about you. Is he a nice guy? Good. That's about it for news, and then I will not talk about West Virginia anymore. Maybe I will.
Masterclass. In Masterclass, we pick a topic in sports photography and we discuss it front and back. And this month, we're going to talk about risk versus reward. And what got me thinking about this was I was shooting football a couple weeks ago, and something that we probably should discuss at some other point is how to take cues from the players that are on the field. And this, it's kind of more, pros know how to disguise it a little better, but the lower you go, the more likely the person that's going to get the ball, if it's football or if there's a trick play on or something like that, won't be able to disguise it. And a lot of times I'll look at the receivers as they come out of the huddle, and you can usually tell if somebody's been charged with, you know, their job on the play is going to be to block or be a decoy or something. And the guy who's going to get the ball has a look in his eye like, now it's really time to play. And so there are times when I'll take a cue and I'll look at the guy coming out of the huddle and say, okay, well, he's lined up on my side and he's really tall, so they're probably just going to throw the ball to him and let him jump up and get it, and I'll be in the corner of the end zone and putting on a wide lens to try and, you know, because I know it's going to be close to me and I want to get some context in it. And so where the risk versus reward comes in is that if I'm wrong and that play goes to the other side of the end zone, it's going to be very difficult for me to change cameras in the time that play is going to happen. And if I'm sitting there with a 24-70 and the play happens in the opposite corner of the end zone, I'm going to have absolutely no shot. Not, you know, oh, well, that's all right or whatever. I'm just going to have nothing. And there are plenty of times where this is going to happen where you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to say, this is what I think is going to happen, or this is the kind of picture that I need, or to tell the story, this is the kind of picture that I want. And you're going to have to make a choice. And that choice can be where to set up. The choice can be what settings to have on your camera. The choice could be what lens to have on your camera. Metering, all of this kind of stuff goes into it. And it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of situation. So you have to be prepared to miss a picture to get a picture that's going to be better.
I don't know what else to add because you just kind of said it all. I was just trying to think of anything else to add to that one, and really not much. He said it all. I think you kind of have to differentiate between, like, if you're doing something for a particular assignment versus you're doing it just in general, kind of, you don't really not going to get any money from this particular you know, shot or this particular game you're shooting at the moment. Because if you're shooting something specific, like for instance me, I have to do a lot of matches, like, you know, soccer matches, football matches, because there are, I have to shoot Japanese football players in these matches. There's, you know, we need these things, like agencies do and magazines do, so I'll go specifically to shoot them. So I'm tracking them all over the place, I'm shooting that, and I don't really care about what happens to the actual game because they're not interested in that. They just want the Japanese players. So all I'm being is very conservative. I want to make sure that I get from head to toe, I get all the shots that I really need, and that's it. So I'm not really thinking about taking a lot of risks to get something really, really great, because they don't really need that. I'd like to, but they don't really need it. Versus, for instance, if you're not a professional, if you're not doing anything for assignment, you really can do a lot of these things. Why you don't? Because a lot of people that have put stuff on our groups or our assignments and whatnot, they tend not to do, they tend not to take that much of a risk. I don't really know. I really don't understand why you wouldn't want to do it, because the likelihood of you getting great, great shots is a lot more when you actually you're not burdened by the fact that you have an assignment to do. I mean, you can do both if you're really, really good at doing, you know, doing assignments and getting the shots, the kind of original shots that you really want. But the fact that if you don't have any assignments, then you really should try to get something that is very, very different than the standard shots you can actually get if you're playing it safe.
Yeah, I think that, you know what I mean? Like, I see this a lot where if there's, in a football game, American football, if there's a blowout, but people are still right around the line of scrimmage getting pictures of the quarterback dropping back or handing off or something like that, those are the kind of pictures mm-hmm. that you should get out of the way at the beginning of the game. Get your stock, get, you know, players lined up and get the standard kind of pictures. But as the game goes on, you need to be confident that you got those pictures at the beginning of the game and then move on to other things. And this goes back to when we started talking about variety. And when you look at your best 30 or 40 pictures from the game, they could all be great pictures. But if they're all of the same kind of thing, just a running back breaking through the line or a quarterback dropping back to pass or something like that, it's a wasted opportunity. And if you're, you know, if you have the star wide receiver making a diving catch or something like that, that's it. You don't need more of that for that game. Like, whatever's going to happen, you have the stock picture of that guy. You have, if he's the MVP of the game, you have a diving picture of that guy. Move on to something else. Take some chances, because getting five more pictures of that guy, yeah, it gives your editor some flexibility, but if you really got that picture, they're going to fit it into whatever they have anyway. Yeah. And if you're not shooting on assignment, or you're shooting on assignment for an editor who just wants pictures or something like that, then it's the same thing. Move on to something else. Shoot wider, pan, do something different. And, you know, a couple examples, because I don't want to just leave you.
Wait. Hold on. Before I forget, because it's very appropriate for this month, because we have the you win with the panning thing. So, like what Matt said, like if you can actually do kind of get all the stock stuff, the stuff you actually need in the first half or whatever, then spend the entire second half panning. You know, just pan the entire, just risk it all, pan, and maybe if you're lucky, you'll get that one great, great shot. But that's all it takes, you know, like this, you that's all you got to do. So please, because I wanted to give a bit more specific thing about this, and the specific thing that I want to really give you is that get, you know, do all the stuff you need to do, the amount of, like, from the first half of a game or whatever, you know, whatever sports you're going to be shooting, but use the second half to do the assignment for this month, which is panning. Sorry, that's it.
Yeah, so the examples that spring to mind about this are, I shoot a good bit of motorsports, and a lot of times I'll go really early in the morning because they start qualifying at like 8 o'clock or something, and I'll try to use the light to get stock pictures that look better than normal stock pictures taken at noon, just because the light's better. But after a while, I'll move to panning or multiple exposures or, you know, real extreme depth of field or something like that. And you really have to sell out. Like if you're doing a panning shot and that car comes off the course and crashes into a wall and you're at a 10th of a second or a 15th of a second, you're probably not going to be fast enough. You know, these cars are going 150 miles an hour or 180 miles an hour, even more if it's a drag racing car and it's going 220 miles an hour. You're going to miss that. And you have to be okay with doing that because you're trying something else. You can't just sit there and say, well, this car might crash, so I'm going to have a high shutter speed picture of it every time. That would be the same as going to a baseball game and saying, well, the pitcher could blow his arm out on this pitch, so I'm going to stay locked on the pitcher for 100 pitches a game. You have to do something else and be ready to miss something crazy happening because you're trying to do something different. You're trying to get a picture that doesn't look like all the other pictures, and it's more likely that you're going to get a good panning shot or a good multiple exposure shot or something like that, or a good landscape of a car on a track or something, than it is a crash that's going into a wall, because that's only going to happen a couple times. But those cars going around, you have all of those times to make a good different picture. So do that, and then you can go back to the high shutter speed stuff to, you know, maybe catch a crash or catch a big play or something like that. But you know, the other thing is that we were just talking before the podcast about shooting soccer, and you know, you say you're going somewhere and you get to shoot a big star. It's a, you know, Real Madrid is over here for preseason games, and you get to shoot Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, you don't need 50 pictures of Cristiano Ronaldo. You certainly don't need 50 with your longest lens isolated action. So put on a shorter lens and maybe get a goal celebration. Maybe get him coming over to the corner flag right in front of you and pointing at the crowd, or, you know, pulling up his shirt or something that would get Rio really excited.
Yes.
And but if you say, well, I'm just going to sit here with my 400 on, then and he came right up to you, you wouldn't get it. And so you have to be able to risk getting that picture where he comes right up to you after you have all of the stock action pictures. So if you're just sitting there saying, oh, well, I have this chance to shoot this guy and, you know, I want to get as close as I can and shoot as tight as I can, then all the pictures at the end are going to look exactly the same and you're going to have wasted an opportunity.
Or maybe maybe you should kind of count the type of pictures you get. Like, okay, I got a shot of him with the ball, without the ball, blah, blah, blah. And then once you kind of get all those things, and then you can start thinking like, okay, I want to try this one because I've been meaning to try this specific technique or this kind of specific style or this kind of lighting or whatever. Because, you know, you don't really need 18,000 pictures of the same thing, unless that's what your job is. If it's not, then you really should go and try something new. And because from that, you'll be able to find different styles and techniques that will work for you and that would actually make you a better sports photographer in the end. Because we see a lot of it in our group, and I think people are getting better about it, but some people just don't feel comfortable maybe. Just like what Matt said, that if I'm not using my 400 or what is my long lens, I might miss the big goal. But if you miss a big goal, but if you get other great shots that's nothing to do with the goal, you still win anyway.
And the winning goal very rarely looks like anything other than any other play until you get to the celebration.
Anything, you know, like a touchdown, anything, like, you know, any ball sport, anything, like a winning moment. The act of winning, not the celebration, looks like anything else you've actually seen. Maybe you just had the exact shot. It's just a matter of the guy across the line or not, you know? So I wouldn't put too much emphasis on the act of sports. But you need to kind of be aware of, like, what else is actually going on and, you know, take kind of calculated risks. You know what I mean? If you miss something, you miss something. Big deal, you know? You might actually get lucky and get something else because you've been waiting patiently with a wide-angle lens at the end of the thing, and the guy came to you, and you would actually not have been able to get that shot had you been using a very, very long lens.
So, yeah, and the more you know about what you're shooting and who you're shooting and their tendencies. And the more you have an idea, like Rhea was saying, about what you already have, keep an inventory of the shots that you have. Just, you know, even if it's rough in your head, like, you'll know, like, are you shooting that right winger over and over again? You know, maybe it's time to say, I have enough of that guy. And even if he does something crazy, I'm not going to sit here for the rest of the game waiting for that. And I'm going to, you know, try and shoot somebody else, you know, to kind of fill out the variety. Have that inventory in your head while you're doing it and say, okay, I have all these stock pictures of these guys. Now it's time to switch over into a different mode, even if it's for a little while, even if it's for 10 minutes of the game. And even if you switch back for the end of the game, or, you know, try to go for the celebration at the end of the game, but know where you are. And this all goes to putting the thought into it. You're not just running out there with your gear and pushing a button. There's thought that goes into this, and it will, if you put the thought into it, the variety will come and the special pictures will come.
And that will end our wonderful discussion. It was a bit preachy, I'm sorry, but this is kind of how it is now sometimes. And we try to give you as much specific examples as possible when it comes to these things, but the whole risk versus reward thing, at definitely at an amateur level, is a very, 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 very big deal, I think, because especially if you're trying to get a foot into the professional world of, you know, if you want to do this for you know, your life, I mean, to earn a living, this is something you need to do, because you need to kind of differentiate yourself. And differentiating yourself, meaning you get different kind of good pictures that other people cannot get. And if you have taken specific risks in your sports photography life, it'll be a better chance of you getting a good photo compared to the ones everyone else basically gets. So that is with Masterclass, and we will be back with other things after this, but I'm not sure what's after this, but we'll tell you in a bit. Oh, yes. Okay. Bye. You Win is part of the show where you, the listeners, participate in a monthly themed competition. Top 3 photos will be presented on our site, but we only have one or maybe two because I think we were quite specific. Maybe you need an example about the whole depth thing. Depth in sports photography, what we refer to is that there is something in the foreground and background, so that makes it not three-dimensional, because this is a two-dimensional media. But there is something kind of going on between the subject, the main subject, and the foreground, or the background, or both. So, and it has to, just because there's a person in the back doesn't really mean that it's, like, I want you to still take a good photo. And just because there's something in the back or in the front doesn't necessarily mean it's a good photograph. You want to kind of see that you've understood the kind of the grasp of this whole depth thing. And sadly, I don't think it worked very, very well. We will keep on coming back to these things all the time, so you'll have another chance of doing it. But I think Matt Cohen wants to say something, because he's nudging me with his virtual elbow now. So please, Matt Cohen, what are you going to say?
I don't even know if I should say anything right this second. I'm going to write a blog post about this, and kind of, I guess we're going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt that we didn't provide examples and didn't really explain it other than a couple sentences. But it's not, this most of this is not at all what we were looking for. And I think that's really all I should say right this second.
Yeah, because he gets very angry and he kind of loses it. And, you know, he's got bladder problems and everything. You don't really want to do that. I don't really know if we should award a t-shirt this month, because it was very, it might be the poorest You Win we've had.
Here's the thing, whether or not you, and we've said this many times before, but I need to say it again, whether or not you've satisfied the requirements, like the rules of that contest, like, yes, you have something that has some kind of depth in it or whatever, it still has to be a good picture on top of that. Like, it's not just, this isn't just like a pass fail kind of thing. Like, did the photographer include depth? Mm. And oh, then great, it's a great picture. No, it still has to be a good picture independent of that. And what we're seeing here is not that. I mean, it's really, there's just not enough thought put into these pictures. And, you know, I don't want to pick on any specific one, but you have to consider all of the content that's in the picture. And if the background is robbing the picture of being good, or the dramatic effect of the picture, I'm looking at this, the track one where the guy's holding out a flag, and it's the guy that's holding the flag that's in focus and the runner that's out of focus. You know, that's risky to do. Like, yes, it can happen, but what are you trying to say? That the most important thing in this picture is the guy holding the flag, and he looks like all he wants to do is get out of there and have a beer? Like, it still has to be a dramatic picture. Like, when we were doing the, you know, put things toward the edges, awesome. You know the rule of thirds. Great. But just knowing the rule of thirds is the same thing as just knowing how to put your camera on manual and use the meter. Mm. You know, it's not enough to make a good picture. And it's certainly not enough to make a great picture. So hopefully everybody who entered here will read the blog post and look at the examples that I'm going to have to go back through my archive and find to put into this, because this might be a little bit more of an advanced topic, but it's still something that you're going to need to have sooner or later, and you may as well be practicing it now.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, maybe we shouldn't have a winner this month. We're not being cheap about it. We've got money. We can buy you a t-shirt. We can. We really can. But yeah, I just kind of think that not really, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to kind of deserve
you. I don't want to kind of like reward bad behavior with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would like to give everybody a mulligan on this one, and we're going to do this again in a couple months, and hopefully maybe we'll do it next, you know, the month after next. You know, so that the blog post is still fresh and people can, you know, kind of take that in mind when they go out to shoot, because there's just nothing here that is what we were looking for. There's, you know, a couple pictures that are good, you know, decent on their own, but I don't think there's anything that, you know, I would like to say, oh, you've won something. No. So,
and you know, Bashar, one of the guys who's on the Flickr group and has been helping out, picking the photos out, you're not making his job easier either, you know, like he has to really like go into the depth of hell to actually like, you know, look for these pictures, and the stuff that's actually been entered this time, it's just not good enough. Yeah. So you know, these things happen. I am mad at you, but I'm not that mad at you at this point. But take this into
we're gonna take some of the responsibility. Yeah,
you know, think about it. Again, what it means to have depth in your picture. Hopefully Matt Cohen will provide you with really good examples how and how not. Well, I guess like how and not how to, how not to. And next one is panning. I think it's already on the thing. And by the way, I'm really sorry about the whole being this podcast being late. It's all my fault because I was, you know, hanging out with Virginia with all the townies and Pete. The trailer trash people, so I'm really sorry about that. I'll do a better job next time of actually being back to record the podcast earlier, so hopefully this will be the last time. We are going to do panning, or this is on the thing now, already on the Flickr group. The thread is already on. And that's it. I don't know what else to say, because we really did the you win for panning a couple months ago. So hopefully we'll see an improvement on that. And there's some stuff on training ground, panning stuff, so we'll talk about that right after this. And that will end a very, very sad, sad you win. Oh,
training ground. You asked for it, you get it. Ryu and I will rip your photos into smithereens. Hold on to your headphones. Here comes the pain.
And pain it is. It's a lot. 29, well, not really separate entries, but 29 entries with multiple pictures. So we have to go very, very fast. The first picture is with motorcycle things by Garage Works.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. So this picture, it's, you know, we ordinarily don't take into account what the person said about it, but this picture isn't chaos. Like, this is, you know, people lined up. Chaos is when there are bikes flipping over and crashing and, you know, people have terrified looks on their faces. This is just, you know, some dudes riding bikes. There's no chaos here at all. What could you do better? Get lower, get higher, expose it properly. You know, move somewhere where there's not a 4x4 in the background and a guy wearing a cowboy hat and a pole and part of the parking lot. You know, if there's nothing good happening in the background, then make the background go away. That's
You gotta have to change position as well. Like, this is like, go to a corner or do something, you know, like, you gotta do something about it. There's a lot of things you can do to make it better. Think about it. And J Rash has got two pictures. He did one with the okay, it's a great picture for I don't know what. It's just guy, he's got a ball and this guy in the background kind of celebrating. It's very boring. I'm sorry to say this, but it's very boring. The second one,
this picture tried, like, well, for the first one, if that guy had been on the sidelines and there had been 20 of him, then
that's fine.
You have a picture.
Yeah, there's only one guy. Yeah. So maybe, and like, that school needs to, like, you know, invite more people to come to their games.
Yeah.
The second one is a good effort, really.
Yeah.
From all this, like, panning stuff I've seen, it's a very, very good effort because it is to all the people who's going to be doing panning shots this month because it is in focus.
Yeah.
That's it.
So a couple things to say about this. First of all, don't do the vignetting on pictures like this. It just looks stupid. It's not helping anything. Like, it's good. Like, it's a good effort. You took the, like, we were just talking about, like, there could have been a crazy fumble or a tackle or something like that, and he was doing a panning shot, and that's good. And it's even better that he nailed the face, you know, got it exactly in time with the camera. That's great. I'm not thrilled that there's more space in front of him and that his foot is cut off on the back, but use this as a jumping off point to, you know, make this picture perfect the next time. And I don't want to see another vignette ever.
It is crucial that some part of it, hopefully the main part of the picture, is in focus. It's very, very, because we'll see other spanning stuff that's was a disaster. So we'll go to Sergei Stepanov saying, anything constructive about this is that maybe you had a camera. That's probably, or maybe got, like, maybe I should, like, made it on time to shoot this match. There's nothing interesting about the first one, and the second one is a disaster because you cut the feet, and it just doesn't. There's nothing interesting going on. Like, I don't know what you want me to actually say about this. Maybe next time you will wait for these people to come towards you a bit more. I don't think the level, like, if you're up or down, if you're standing up or sitting down, it's not gonna make that much of a difference. You have to kind of, you know, we keep on saying this, this is a really, really boring picture. Anyone at this level can take a picture of an athlete playing sports that from head to toe with the object. So, you know, in this time being ball. Think of something else better to do. Think of something a bit more interesting that you can actually show us, and please come back. Matchpoint.com tennis. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
But it's kind of like, as you can kind of see from our reaction, it's okay. But I guess we need, you know, want something a bit more interesting about this. I don't know. Maybe you can actually do high key, low key stuff. Maybe I like the fact
pictures.
That, huh? Go ahead.
Pictures like this, where it's essentially a, you know, like an action portrait. You have to have something else that makes them really interesting. And I like the expression and I like the positioning of the racket, but it would definitely benefit from more dramatic lighting. Like, this picture is going to go up against the pictures like when we had Matthew Stockman on, who's a tennis photographer for Getty. his pictures with the crazy dramatic backlighting and the underexposure. Those pictures, these pictures like this are going to be judged in on an editor's desk against pictures like his, and his are going to win because the lighting is so much more dramatic and it's such a more interesting picture because of that. So this is okay, and it's, you know, it's good. Like, you didn't feel that you needed to get the ball in there and make it wider or something like that. But there does need to be an added layer of something that draws you in, and I'm guessing that that's probably more dramatic lighting.
Yeah, so I don't know. Take a bit of risk on this one. It does feel a bit too safe for me. As with basically 90% of the photos in training ground, people just don't take enough risks to take, you know, to get a photo that is interesting. Saying that, we go to Chris Gouge, I guess. Gouge. I like the first one. I don't know why the underexposure really gets me, but like, I like them both.
Yeah, I like them both.
Yeah, I find it quite interesting. I don't know if it's a bit crooked on the first one, but the red really does it for me. I think it works very, very well with the colors. And the second one looks like a really old picture that you got it from your attic, and it's like shot like 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I like both of these. They don't look like most other panning pictures, and the first one is like, the first time I saw it, I didn't really like it, but looking at it again, I like that it's stripped down to just the guardrail and the car, and having that red in there really sets it off from the background. And the second one, this is what you do a black, you know, we talked about this last time, like having black and white action pictures, and I like to have non-action pictures be black and white, but the action pictures be color. This is a good example of an action picture that does very well in black and white because it's an old car, and because, you know, you're panning and there's blurred out stuff in the background anyway, it really works. So I think both of these were well done, and I would like to see there's room for improvement, certainly. In the first one, I would like to see it maybe a bit more symmetrical, because when you're going for the super minimal kind of look, these kind of angles distract, whereas if the guardrail was exactly parallel to the car, then it would be like a more graphic design kind of look, and I think that would stand out a little bit more. But both of these are good efforts.
Yeah, and by no means, yeah, like Matt said, it's not perfect, but I think you're going in the right direction. Matthew Wilkinson, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it is kind of like, okay, so they're celebrating, so what type of thing, you know what I mean? Like, if this is the case, then like, if you maybe kind of like had it in an angle so that you can see the opponent being very, very depressed or something like that, or you could get it maybe from a lower angle, shot this whole thing in a really, really wide angle. Just something different. Like, we do understand that you are, you know, making effort to take a normal sports photos, and I know you can do that. Like, this guy can obviously do it. He's actually, you know, framed it in an okay way, and like, it's okay, like maybe for a newspaper, but we want to actually make you a bit better than just a newspaper photographer.
Yeah, it was there. I mean, the opponent in the obviously different jersey is walking off, pull out, shoot wider. And, you know, this is one of those times where maybe you need to take a bit more of a risk and shoot the whole thing wide so that you could see, you know, the contrast between the players with their heads down and the players who are celebrating. It's just standard. Yeah. You know, it's,
or tighter. Sports Flare 2000 says... Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's, you know,
all right. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're shooting a goalie and he's making a save and definitely in focus and well exposed and all of that. But when I'm shooting hockey, especially when I'm shooting the goalies, what I'm looking for is ice flying around, people diving, you know, showing the goalie reaching between people's skates to put his blocker on the puck or put his glove on it or something like that. So this is kind of just, you're sucking the tension out of it because it's just the goalie. And it's, you know, like, yes, you got the puck and it's in midair and he's looking at it. And that's what makes it, you know, halfway decent. But there's just not enough tension going on because there's no defenders and there's nothing else going on. And this is one of those things where if there had been a pile up in front of him or a bunch of players trying to shield him and you got him looking at the puck through it, would be a good example of the depth that we were looking at for you win. But instead, it's just really flat. Mm. It's just absolutely two-dimensional picture.
It's a shame because had it actually been a bit more three-dimensional, it would have been more interesting. But, you know.
Yeah.
Hence, I respond to being a bit about it. Ben Mlu, it's a good try. I don't like the yellow thing that's coming out, and I don't really quite understand like what happened because it just looks like a guy who's just spitting water. In this sense, I really would like to have a bit more context as to what was going on because. As much as I keep on saying things about, like, it doesn't really matter, like, what the whole context of the sports is and everything, but I think in this case it does. Like, what is exactly kind of going on? Like, he's spitting water out, but, like, why is he kind of spitting water out?
And I don't know. I like this one. I like pictures. I like pictures of, especially, you know, whether it's sweat or water or whatever coming off of someone. I kind of respond to those, I guess, more than you do.
Mm.
I would have made this one black and white, and that would have taken care of a few things. I think it would have made his face a little bit more clear, and it would have gotten rid of the yellow, and it would have set the water droplets off of his skin tone.
But now he says like this, the winner, so he's just won.
Yeah.
And if you can, I don't know how close or far he was, either different poses that I can actually think of if he's doing this. You know what I mean? That I don't know. I think the fact that it's just only one arm, you know, like it could have actually been like he could be dead center to him, maybe going from a low angle or very, very, you know, and kind of composed in a different way. I just don't think this composition works for the type of moment that was there. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I like water. I like sweat. It's all good. I mean, that picture was far better. I like to segue here. VSBN, because this girl just shot. She's too small. That's all I can actually say about it. Way too small.
Yeah, you can do, you know, there are great golf pictures where the golfer is that percentage of the frame, but usually it's a silhouette against a crazy sky or a person walking through trees or something like that. This is, she's lost, you know, because of the way the trees are, you know, they're evergreen trees or whatever, they're not going anywhere. And so all it is like her against the backdrop of the trees. And so she's totally lost. And then you have a ball that's out of focus bouncing around. That's, I don't know. Yeah, it's not good. You should have been much closer to her and, you know, maybe tried to make a landscape out of it or something. It's...
I think it might have been better if you had the flag right there in the center, and that would actually give a bit more depth to the whole thing. And you could actually then zoom in, because the thing is, like, the ball hitting the green isn't that interesting compared to what she is doing. She just hit a shot. Yeah. And I want to see that more in detail. So you could have actually shifted to the right, had the flag right next to her, or right, maybe, you know, right in the center of her. And see how that actually looked, because either that or shoot it wide with a gallery, you know, like you kind of have to use that, like the, I don't think the green, she's wearing green as well, and I don't know, it's just, this just doesn't really work.
Yeah, everything just gets lost.
Same in the green scheme of things. This is even worse.
When you go to a football game and unless your assignment is to shoot a picture of the center or something like that,
that's bad.
Having a picture like this is just like, I just don't do it. I mean, it's not a, there's just nothing happening. There's nothing interesting. You know, there are sometimes when there's receivers in motion that you might be able to get off a pre-snap picture, or if you were shooting the defense and you saw them, you know, like, you know, defensive linemen drooling at the prospect of sacking the quarterback or something, but there's nothing going on here. So
you have to kind of like go in a lot closer in the action, like probably you should, or just wait until the quarterback throws a ball to the receiver, yeah, and you have to wait for the receiver to come close to you. Like, you have to figure out. It's just like, just nothing there. David, so kind of bad examples of panning by David Musanti. First one especially. I think it's really, really slow on this shutter speed, whatever it is. It's very, very slow. And that's fine. We recommend you go as slow as possible because people tend to go kind of gun-shy and go quite high shutter speed. Yeah. The first one doesn't work because there's not, whatever is in focus, it doesn't work at all. There's just nothing there. It's just this massive blob. Second one, better. But compared to the racing one we had, or the American football one, the guy running with the ball, I think. The speed is fine, I think. Because you blurred that. It's a beautiful background, I think. It's a beautiful view background. But you're kind of behind the runners as well now. And
You don't want... You either want them to be... you want to be ahead of them, showing them coming towards you, or you want to be, you know, when they're straight up, you know, at the point that they're going past you. Being behind them like this just kind of takes all the drama out of the picture. But this, and I'm not exactly happy with where the lower crop is to it. Like, there's too much space on top, so this should have just been all the way down or something. But I do, you know, definitely it was the right speed to get the background blurred out, which is good because we see too many times where it's not. And it's pretty close to being on with the faces. So that part of it's good. But just go try this one again because it's obvious that you were onto something here. But I think, you know, maybe it took until this point to get even with the speed or something like that. But the more you practice, the more you'll be able to get them even with the speed throughout the whole time that they're going by you. This is just, they're just by you. Yeah. That's it.
Next time. The football thing kind of with the other guy, the VSBN. I don't know what you're trying to do. The only good thing is that you're very, very low on the ground. That means you can't shoot pictures. And
yeah. So this is a field goal or an extra point or something.
Yeah.
Bad. And, but the kicker's not in there, which means that you should either, if you're going to have the holder in there, then you need to have the kicker in there. And if you're not, then you need to focus on the line. But I actually invited this one in, and the reason I did it was because it's not metered properly. And a lot of this stuff happens because it's very difficult to shoot under floodlights, and the meter is taking into account the dark sky in the background, and it's averaging the sky and everything else up. And so when you're looking at this, look at how overexposed the players are, and then look at the haze from the floodlights in the top of the picture. Like, you need to make that go black. Like, that sky, you need to tell the camera, expose for the players and let the sky go black. You don't care that there's black sky back there. You want it to be black. So don't overexpose it to the point where the sky isn't black anymore and then the players are overexposed. So this is kind of a high school football specific thing, or really anywhere where the lighting is that poor. Do yourself a favor and meter for the players' faces, at the very least the uniforms, so that you get the clean background that you're looking for and you don't get the blown out players when that's what's going on here. So you can't trust the camera to get that right for you. You're probably gonna have to do it by yourself. Yeah,
go manual and just deal with it then. Ooh, so aléatoire photography. I just before reading everything that's written underneath, it's not an interesting photo, like, by any means. There's nothing interesting going on. Terrible background.
There's a lot of things going wrong here. Yeah. The background, I don't think it's exactly in focus, and I think that he was shooting at 1.2, which is
too shallow.
You know, it's great if you can get it because it'll make for a really dramatic picture, but it means the lens is going to focus slower, so it makes it much harder to shoot sports with it. I shoot basketball with my 85 1.4 to try and get really dramatic stuff, but you have to accept that you're going to miss a lot, both because the depth of field is incredibly shallow, but also because the lens is just slower to focus. So you're stacking the deck against yourself in ways that you have to be aware of. And so then we're looking at this really isn't in focus at all. And it's not interesting, and there's no reason for it to be black and white, and there's no reason for it to have black bars around it.
No.
So really, you're just polishing a turd by doing all that kind of stuff, and it's really, you need to start with a better picture if you want to be doing those kind of things to it.
And I think, like, honestly, like, you could probably shoot judo, I've actually done it now, with like 0.05 of a second, or even 0.04. You can. You just have to pick the moment. And the other thing you actually said about the fact that there was other pairs, I guess, before, like, I mean, in front of the pair that you've shot, why don't you then shoot the pairs that are in front of you? You might have to shoot the ones that all the way to the back.
Or pull out and shoot all of them. Pull out to shoot all of them to show that it's a training session and not a one-on-one competition. You know, if there's a lot of activity going on, then pull out and shoot the whole thing because it's a class.
Yeah, or maybe like move to the back, then you can shoot them. You know what I mean? I think there's like, maybe there's another pair in the back. I don't know, but it's very poor. Everything is poor about this. Very poor decision on his part to use whatever he's actually used and everything. So I just want to see a bit more creativity, bit more something out of it. And I want to see it in color. It's fine. I don't know. There's any reason to use black and white in this whole thing.
Well, he's saying because the white balances
out, then you know, fix it in post. It's fine. You know? Yeah.
Or get it right in the camera to begin with.
P-Mom. Way too happy getting a ball and the kids in the frame. Way too happy. Way too happy.
I mean, this is, again, this is going to happen in every game 30 or 40 times a game. And if you want to sit on this and get this every time and this is your daughter or whatever, then that's great. And if that's all you want to do, then you've done it. But what we're trying to do is get you to make interesting pictures of your kids, not just, you know, the regular pictures.
Mm.
And this, again, I mean, you know, the good of it is that it's obviously she took some care with the exposure to get the skin tones right instead of making the choice to get the grass right, which the camera would probably have done. But there are tense moments, especially in soccer. Like, yes, it's going to be two people and a ball, but there are going to be moments where it's a truly 50-50 ball and they're going to be fighting over it, or somebody's going to be pulling somebody else's shirt or falling down or something like that. And when we see soccer pictures in the group, way too often it's just like this. It's like somebody's dribbling or somebody's going up for a header and there's another picture in the frame or another player in the frame for good measure, but it's not enough to make it an interesting kind of picture. So pick the moments better. Like, be ready and be in focus, but you don't need to shoot everything until something interesting happens. And if this was the only picture like this that you got of the game, then that's great. But something is telling me that you have 50 pictures of this from this game.
I'm kind of like thinking, because she says she takes pictures for her daughter's team and the youth team and whatnot. I'm guessing this, that she sells them maybe to other parents.
Yeah.
Then things might be a bit different, because unless your this whole photography thing for you is to sell these really mundane pictures, because that's how you get your money. You've, like Matt said, you've kind of did what you had to do and that's it. But
right, but that all goes
really
back to
excited about seeing these pictures, because if I had any picture like this, I'll throw it away. Gone. Like, I don't even see them. I'll shoot them and look at it. Okay, it's gone. It's finished. Because it's
but
it's
that
dull.
Goes back to there's the volleyball issue that we had, you know, with he who will not be named. When, you know, oh, well, you know, this is what I need to do to sell it. Well, that's great. Then if these are the pictures that are selling and that's what the goal is, then that's it.
Mm.
You know, but what we're trying to do isn't help you sell more pictures. It's to make more interesting pictures and better pictures. And so my advice, you know, given the fact that you can get frozen action and you can get things in focus and all of that, is you just need to sit on more interesting moments. And if you want to take all these pictures and give them away or sell them or whatever, that's fine. But if, you know, what we're trying to do here is build on something, then I want to see you taking, you know, the pictures that you put into the pool and put into training ground, I want to see more chances being taken, or I want to see discretion as far as what we're looking for, not what you're looking to sell.
Yeah, because we don't really care if you show them or not. Honestly, it's not really our thing, you know? So I want to see something a bit more out of you if you're going to actually put something in here, because it's just, you know, want to see something else.
Yeah.
RH Basketball. I like the wide angle one better than, because it's, I don't like the fact it's like the guy, the focus is on the blocker. But the wide angle the thing, nothing face. Really happening.
The shooter's face is in.
I don't know.
The shooter's face is in focus.
Is it? It looks Do I think it's the foreground's in focus?
No, it's definitely a shooter's. Both of their faces are.
Huh.
I actually like the first one. It's a little bit tighter than I would have gone, but I like the shallow depth of field, and I like that the metering is where it should be instead of, you know, letting the lights blow it out. So that's good. I like it. You have to go for these kind of shots to get the more interesting ones where somebody gets a finger in the eye or, you know, somebody gets stuffed or something like that. So, I like that. I like, you know, the general vibe of this one. The second one, you know, I like that it's wide angle, and I like that it's laid out, you know, like, landscape wise or whatever, but it's not just the way that the two players are and the ball being further away from them. Just kind of, I don't know. This should be a more interesting moment. Like, set it up like this, but then you have to be more selective in what the players are actually
doing.
Because
there are much more interesting moments than the one you just shot with the wide angle thing.
Yeah.
I like the... Well, it's Ken Beebe Jr. I like the first one. I think it's composed very, very well. It's a great moment. It's done very, very well. Much more than the second one, which is one of those, Ken, I'll give you a dollar because you got a frozen moment during a game. And I wish, because it is a really good moment, because the whoever it is, the guy behind, linebacker, is about to catch him, and I kind of wish it was in a better angle, because then you'll get to kind of see a bit more of him, because I don't know, there's something really missing from it. I don't know what it is, like it was an angle thing or if it's a whatever, but
yeah, you know what I mean? This is, again, we're looking for the tension between the two players, and the defender has it in his face, the receiver has a decent expression, but what I'm looking for is the bodies. Like, did this guy just catch a pass over his shoulder? In that case, I want to see him with his hands up trying to catch it. Or, you know, half a second after this, did the defender knock the ball out of his hands? In which case, I want to see the ball coming out. So it's just... it's a lull in what was probably an interesting sequence, and your job is to find the peak of the sequence, and you found the lull of it. So,
it's difficult, because I saw it. I saw this picture for the first time, and my eyes go directly to the guy, the guy, you know, the Panthers guy, you know, the guy in the blue. And I didn't even notice the guy in the back until like a bit later. It's like, oh, there's a guy in the back. So, which means that in most cases, people won't realize it's actually something really interesting going on, which means it doesn't really work as a photo. Like Matt said, it is a low moment. It is something that should have been earlier or later. And it's a shame, because it is like a really intense expression going on, and we want to kind of see how that works in the whole thing. So,
yeah,
it's very difficult.
And getting back, just to do a callback to the other high school football one, look at the sky behind the players. See how it's absolutely black? That's what you want to do. Like, you don't want the flare or the haze or whatever.
No.
You need to get the exposure right for their faces and not for the black. And you want it to be black. And that's why this is even an average picture, is that it pops out of the frame because the metering is right. So manual meter, I'm sure that's what Ken's doing. And you want to do that.
It's shitty. I just said just now. It's crappy football season pictures. You know, crappy football picture season.
Yeah, this is wow. Bad,
like, really, honestly,
board.
Like, Ken's probably the only person this time around who's gotten it right so far. It's just really, really, like, what are you trying to, like, what he's about to sack him? Then, like, but I don't feel it. Like, I have to really look for it. The fact that it's happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's
so
that's is exposed poorly.
Yeah, you have to. Shooting shooting games during the day, you just have to be cognizant of the lighting situation. Mm-hmm. And this play was happening in a shadow, but the sun was going on the other side. This is why I tell everybody to shoot football backlit. You're shooting a day game, you're shooting football, shoot it backlit, because you want the background to be dark and you want to be able to concentrate on shooting what's going on the field. And if you're shooting on the other side, then you can get the metering right on the players and let the background fall into shadow. What happened here was that this was obviously on some kind of auto setting that averaged in all the light that's going on behind the play and dropped the exposure, you know, to the point where the what's going on in front, you know, on the field is not exposed properly. So shoot it the other way. It does take some getting used to. It does take some experimenting to get the exposure right, because you definitely need to shoot manual if you're shooting backlit. But, you know, just the exposure on this is bad enough. But then, so a sack and or a fumble or whatever is going to happen to this poor guy who's playing against Alabama right here is, you know, that's going to be a dramatic play. But again, you found the moment where it's the least dramatic. Like this, the quarterback is not really doing anything. Like he looks like he's kind of bracing for impact or whatever. You want him at full stride trying to get away, or you want the tackle, or you want the fear in somebody's face or whatever. And you just look at this and you have made something that could be, you know, a crazy play, a sack fumble or somebody's helmet getting knocked off or something like that, into like, you know, just the least amount of action going on that there could be. You have to, these people's bodies are your medium, right? So you need to show them in the most dramatic way possible. And while the defender is, you know, going for the sack, the quarterback, the guy with the ball, is not doing anything at all. And that is a pretty big problem.
We move on swiftly to Kevin. If you can actually get this close to the hockey thing, I think you could have probably have waited a bit more. Hockey seems to be a very, very, very difficult thing for people to shoot, because I've not really seen any hockey shots that are really worth praising. I don't know what to say, really, from now on out with the hockey thing. Keep on trying. I like the fact that you kind of made it into, you know, the main subject. You kind of waited until the guy came towards you. Wait longer. Wait a bit more, shoot wide angle, whatever it is. You're on the kind of the right track, because I think we've kind of been telling people to like kind of forget about the whole goal thing and shooting thing and just kind of
all the way across the ice.
Interesting moments and interesting composition. Yeah. The shooting gun thing. Okay, can we move on?
Yeah, I mean, okay. You know, this is, well, we're not going to move on because this is the tire coming up, you know, over the curb. It's, you know, it's a tiny little detail. Great, you got the casing. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the gun, but where's the smoke coming out? You know, was it too late or too early? Or I don't know how guns work or whatever, but it would have been way better if there had been, you know, you could see the explosion of it. So the casing is like the least of it. Mm. Yeah, you got it, but different, you know.
I think you can actually get this angle. You probably get right behind her, you know?
Yeah.
You can't get in front of her, obviously, but you can get right behind her and or something else, like just
or beside,
the most boring position you can possibly take up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can do this again, think about positions, think about angles, and yeah, you know, that's it. So, hockey. Again, I am telling you to get close, and I'm going to keep on telling you to get close. It's a step in the right direction. Is this what we're talking about? Yes, but it's kind of like Matt said earlier. This sports photography is not a pass-fail thing, especially when it comes to this whole theme thing. It's, yeah, but so why, what is the purpose of you getting close? Like, what are we supposed to be looking at over here? The intense look on his eyes, and yes, you should, but why is the guy, the referee, right next to him? Could you not have gotten a moment where there's no one there but just him and the intense look? I think you probably could have.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to say here. Yeah, I'm glad you got close, but so what? We still want you to get a good shot. And this is not a good shot, by all means. Can we go?
Yeah, I like the intensity in his eye in the first one, and you can look at the second one and see that there's no intensity there. This is a face-off, I'm guessing. There's, you know, no reason why they would be standing still for even between the time that it would take to get those shots. So, it's difficult when you have a face. Like, when I shoot face-offs, it's across the ice because then the ref is going to be on the other side. And so having the ref block off the whole kid's face other than the eye, it's just, I don't know, it's not enough. It's just, it's awkward, and having, you know, the stripes going to it doesn't really help. No. So, I would invite you to explore this kind of thing. Like, there will be times when you can't, where the action will be happening that close to you, or they'll be lining up when the ref is still collecting the puck and skating over, and he still might have the intense expression on his face, but neither of these two work. In the second one, there's no intensity at all, so that's just a throwaway.
We go and do a bit of more panning thing. The first one's a quite standard one. I think it's done very, very well, because she's got the girl in the front with the focus and everything. And the second one, I don't know if she cropped a really, really big picture, but I think it's fun, you know? It's a lot of fun. I think it's
interesting. I like that.
I've never actually seen a shot like this before from cross.
Yeah, I don't generally extreme props like that.
Both of them.
But
I have nothing to say about that.
Yeah, I don't generally like the extreme crops like that, but that does work.
Yeah, I hope it was like, if it's something like that, then if you meant it to be like that without cropping, if you actually made it like that, it's great. But yeah, if it's, you know, like a massive, if it's like a real crop deal, then yeah, it's not really you know. So maybe buy a different camera so you can actually do this, because I think it'd be really great photo you can actually do this, huh? Very, very wide, stuff. Yeah. So we go to Brendan Bank. Ooh, hockey. Boring.
Yeah, just, you know, this is the same as the soccer pictures that we were talking about. It's just, you know, if it's something that happens a million times during a game, you know, it's very difficult to make that into a picture. Part of your job is to find that great moment. And, you know, who are you going to show this picture to who's going to say, oh, you know, look at all that action. You know, it's the best part of this picture are the guys who are waiting in the back, you know, in the background. And but they're looking like something crazy is going on, but nothing crazy is going on. This guy's just reaching out for the ball, so
nothing.
No.
And it's even worse as a Kiter thing. He's just kind of chilling out. Okay. Bashar, I like the first one. Second one, I know what you're trying to do, but it's not really working because the shadow doesn't tell us anything. Had it been like we see arms and legs and balls and things like that, not his ball, but the ball he's throwing, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But the shadow, this shadow that he's casting, it just doesn't work. I don't know what it is. It looks like,
well, it's just the angle of the sun and the angle of the pitcher are lining up exactly. So his arm is swallowed up by the silhouette of his body. So this is one of those ones where we say, you know, good effort, good idea, but you got screwed by the universe, the solar system at least.
So you're gonna have to, like, you know, shoot it earlier or shoot it later when the shadow's actually casting something interesting. But hence the good efforts. J-Corn, good. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. What you kind of want. Yeah. It's very original. Yeah. It's very funny. It's got a story to tell. And you know what's going on. And you know it's an interesting photo.
Yeah.
And other people should see these photos and say, wow, you know, this is
the
kind of
moments, and this is, we're looking for. This is the kind of thing where, you know, you want faces, but if you're not going to shoot the face, if you're going to get the back of somebody, this is the kind of thing you want where there's something else that's telling a story. You know, so this guy scored a goal and is celebrating and making devil horns or whatever. And so it's fine that it's behind because you're getting the best of it by his fingers. Good stuff. This is good. Yeah.
And Claudio, who lives somewhere. What did he say he lives?
I don't know, but he still hasn't invited us. No, it's in Brazil. You know. Yeah.
For what it was. Anyway, he's nice place. Second one, far better. than the first. I like the first one as well, but it just kind of looks like a dude who's swimming. But the second one is, I love it. It's great. It's a great shot. It's good. You know, spot on. Black and white really, really works. Love the water, and it's great. It's a great shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on. Sport pick. What is he? Like, lost his contact lens? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. You know, what I really do like about this one is how close he was to it. And I want to see more of that. Mm. This one, you know, it's weird because it has to have been at least a certain amount of time after the game was over, because the guy with the camera and the woman in the skirt is already out there. So I'm trying to figure out why this guy is still crawling along. You know, is he hurt or whatever? I'm a sucker for pictures where you're right on top of the guy, and I like that. I just don't understand why it was happening like this, and you're getting screwed by other people being out on the court rather than just the celebration and just this guy crawling off.
And so, I wish, like, he got him when he was, you can see that he's genuinely sad, because I'm
he didn't really get him at that moment. Right.
Matt said, I also like the fact you can get as close as possible, but execution wise not very, very good, because we don't he just looks like, you know, lost. But like, I want to, he lost, like, he just lost a match. Show it on your picture that he lost a match. Cervelo, slow shutter speeds. We love slow shutter speeds, and I think you actually did a very, very good job. I like this one. I wish it was kind of framed differently.
Yeah.
But compared to other ones that we've seen off field hockey, it's much
better. this is good. I do like the picture, and I agree about the framing. I think that it would be better if it was even looser and, you know, just show this guy like kind of in a sea of the blue turf or whatever. But as far as you know, the actual execution of the, you know, getting the panning shot of the guy, I think this is good.
Yeah. Probably the best Pee Wee football shot we've had.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about, and it doesn't matter that it's football, it could be soccer or whatever, but this is two guys in a ball, but the one guy is falling and the other guy is trying everything he can possibly do to stay in bounds. So there's dramatic tension that's inherent to this picture. It's not just a guy running with the ball and another guy chasing him. There's actually something going on here, and you're not going to get 30 of these a game, but we want to see the one or two or three or whatever that you do get, and this is what we're talking about. So this is good. This is, again, exactly why it's important to get low. I'm guessing that...
Oh, he's low. He's very, very low.
Yeah, I'm guessing that... As well, you know? Right. So Wayne Lucero is probably a normal-sized person, and he's shooting very young kids. Like, how old are these kids? 8 years old or something?
They're very small.
Yeah, so and he is
for all
on
the people
ground
who are shooting these youth and peewee stuff and whatnot. This is exactly what we're trying to say over here. This is a great sports shot. Doesn't matter what age group it is, it's a great, 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 great shot.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that it doesn't really matter what age group you what level you actually shoot. You have to go for shots like this.
Yeah.
It shows in there's a story in it, you know, the whole thing, and it's a great shot. Compared to whatever this second thing is, like, my goodness.
Yeah, the second one, just, I mean, the only good thing you can say about it is he got as low on this one as he did on the other ones. But
there's nothing going on. All right. No. Last but not least, it's... fuck, this is... I didn't even know these things really existed.
What is this? What's like a jetpack? Like a water-powered jetpack or something?
Yeah. Novelty. Yeah, I guess I've never seen this before. So novelty wise, it's great. Photography wise, I think the second one works better than the first one. It looks like it's funky, huh? It's a funky shot.
Yeah, this one, you need to be in the water for that first one. You need to be in the water, basically. Like, looking down on him like this is from the shore or whatever. Like, you need to take more of a risk than that. So it's, I don't know. The second one is kind of cool. You know, I would quibble about the whatever that buoy is out in the water, or I don't know if it's a guy's head or something. That kind of takes away from it. or not. But yeah, it is. It's kind of cool because, you know, you have the trees and the clouds and everything like that. I would also quibble with the exposure because, you know, the guy is almost completely in, you know, underexposed because of the sky, but I don't know, it's cool. But, you know, honestly, if you had a chance to shoot something like this, there should be, you know, you should have been out on a boat, or you should have been, you know, I don't know, something on a platform or something like that on the water, because it's, you're making it less dramatic by shooting it at eye level in the first one, and the second one is better, but it's still, you want to have the water be the bottom of the frame, not, you know, be standing 6 feet above it or something.
And with that, we end the 20th, so the Big 2-0 episode of Big Lens Fast Shutter. Special thanks to Bosman, who recently had a baby about a month ago, but that's recent enough. And our wonderful producer, David Whitaker, who is going to be editing this very, very, very long podcast. Really cannot do this without them. To check out their info as well as ours, please check out biglensfastshutter.com. See you next month.